Hello, everyone. I'm Pastor Larry Stockstill from Bethany Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I greet you today at the Summit of Encouragement. I'm so excited for the honor and the privilege of speaking to you, thousands of pastors who serve God all across the world. My particular topic is encouragement in your personal life. Father, we thank you for blessing these men of God and women of God, using the word of the Lord to encourage them in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about King David, and you remember the lowest point in his lifetime. Can you remember it? It's when he was in Ziklag, and the Bible teaches us that in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel that he had lost his families, he lost his city, it had burned to the ground, he lost all of his money, and he was even losing his members. The Bible says his leaders were about to stone him. He was so distressed. And it makes me think of pastors today in our present pandemic. The problems that we're going through, the issues of division, the difficulties and the struggle financially that you may be dealing with as a pastor. The Bible says David was in such distress, but he called the priest. And he said, bring me the ephod. Bring me the ephod. And the scripture says in 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I'm going to teach you in the next few minutes how to encourage yourself when there's no one around to encourage you. When you're discouraged, you have a secret weapon. The ephod stands for three things in the Bible where you hear the voice of God. We notice those three things in Romans chapter 15 and 16. And I've been pastoring now for over 50 years, 51 years. And I've started a pastor's university called 50 Lessons from 50 Years. I'm going to give you one of those lessons today, how to encourage yourself. Now, the Bible teaches us in Romans 15 and 16 that Paul talked about God as the God of encouragement. He said in verse 5 of Romans 15, may the God of endurance and encouragement encourage you through the scriptures. And then he said in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then in chapter 16 and verse 20, he says, may the God of peace crush Satan under your feet shortly. Isn't it interesting that all three of these phrases of encouragement begin with the word may? May the God of endurance. May the God of hope. May the God of peace. Now, these are three principles of personal encouragement. The first thing I notice is may the God of endurance and encouragement comfort you through the scriptures. The Bible is the first source of your encouragement. I know pastors are supposed to read the Bible, but many times we are not consistent in our daily Bible reading. Many years ago, almost 30 years ago, I began reading the one-year Bible every day, four places in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. The amazing thing was when I was discouraged or needed to make a decision, something I read in my daily Bible reading gave me encouragement and enlightenment that helped me to endure a difficult time. And so I noticed something about God's Word, and that is that it's alive. God's Word is living, Hebrews says, and it's active. When you're going through a struggle, if you'll do your daily Bible reading, the Word will speak a word of direction. David called for the ephod. You call for your Bible, and out of your Bible will come a clear word of direction. You know, man is the only species who can speak. We're made in the image of God. God's word is alive. And we also have the power to speak. Monkeys cannot speak. They do not have two components of the human brain that enable any species to speak. No species will ever speak. They can mimic, but they cannot speak. When we do not have the power to speak, we have no identity. Helen Keller was blind and deaf. And she said until she learned to speak with her hands in Braille, she had no identity. For many years, she did not know who she was. She had no identity, no past. She had no idea what the world was because she had no words. But when she learned her first word and spoke it with her hands, her identity developed. The same is true with you. If you don't have the Bible down in your heart and speak it out, you have no identity as a leader. In Joshua 1 and verse 8, the Bible said to Joshua, "This book of the law, the scripture, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall hide it in your heart, that you may do whatsoever it commands, and in this you will prosper and have good success." I've learned when I get discouraged, find a verse, a promise from my readings, and speak it out of my mouth. You see, don't just read it quietly. Speak it out of your mouth. Because when my mouth speaks, my spirit hears my mouth and gets encouraged. If your spirit is defeated, put your mouth to work and start to speak the word of God out of your mouth. You combat Satan's lies with the truth. The Bible calls the word the sword of the spirit, and that sword comes out of your mouth. Jesus has a sword in his mouth in the book of Revelation. When David and Goliath were fighting on the battlefield, Goliath cursed David with words. But David opened his mouth and spoke the word of God. He said, "I will defeat you. I will cut your head off from you. For the battle is not mine. The battle is the Lord's. You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you with the name of the Lord of hosts." Do you see what David was doing? He was not relying on natural weapons. He was relying on the power of the scripture coming out of his mouth. And what that tells me, number one, is that you must absorb the word of God. You must be down in the word of God every day and speak it out of your mouth. Let your spirit hear it. And that's the first reason that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now we come to number two. In Romans it tells us, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace." I love that. "In believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The first way we are encouraged personally is with the scripture. You just have to find the scripture, get it in your heart, get it in your mouth, speak it out loud against your enemy. Number two, you connect and contact with the Holy Spirit. You know, thank the Lord, the Holy Spirit came to earth as our comforter, our strengthener, the one who upholds us, the one who gives us power. Jesus said, "You'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you." I'm so surprised at how many pastors have no personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, they understand the love of God the Father. They understand the grace of Jesus Christ. But they do not have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Every day, I ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill my spirit. Every day. Because that's where my encouragement. The Bible calls him the Paraclete in Greek. And that means the encourager. The Holy Spirit is your personal encourager. When you get down, when you feel low, when you feel defeated, when you're discouraged, when you hear a bad report about your life or your ministry, you look up and you lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Read Romans 15:13. Holy Spirit, fill me with all joy and peace in believing, that I may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's how you connect with the Holy Spirit. It's by worship. Worship. This morning at my home, about 3:30 in the morning, I woke up. The Lord woke me up very early. And I went outside. I got on my knees. I lifted my hands. I looked up into the beautiful starry heaven. And I began to worship God. I began to sing one of my favorite hymns. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great you are. How great you are. The Bible says that we are filled with the Spirit when we speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is how David encouraged himself with the ephod. He began to sing the psalms that he'd written. Psalm 27:1, he may have sang, the Lord is my light and my salvation. I will not fear. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He may have sung Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You make me lie down in green pastures and lead me by still waters. You restore my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and Ziklag was that valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You see what he was doing. He was getting filled with the Spirit by speaking psalms. Psalm 91, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I remember one time I was in the hospital for 10 days. And it was the lowest point in my life. My kidneys stopped working. I had taken too much aspirin while I was playing golf outside, and I dehydrated and my kidneys stopped. And the doctors said they were going to have to start me on dialysis. And I remember that I read Psalm 118. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. The Lord is on my side as my helper. And the Lord healed me in the hospital as I sang psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Think about Paul and Silas. You talk about distress and discouragement. They were in prison, but at midnight, they began to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and the jail began to shake and the doors flew open. I don't know what jail cell you're in today, but when you begin to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, in the midst of your darkest night, the Lord will open your prison. The Lord will set you free, like David said, like a bird. Your soul will escape out of the snare of the fowler. So the first thing you do to encourage yourself, get the scripture, put it in your heart, and speak it out of your mouth. Secondly, is connect with the Holy Spirit through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and worship. But now I notice the third weapon that David used before he recovered all of his property at Ziklag. And that is your foot. Your foot represents your authority. In the Old Testament, when you bought property, you took your shoe off your foot and you placed it upon that property. Every place the sole of your foot would walk, God would give it to you, he said to Abraham and to Joshua. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread. In Romans 16, and we read in verse 20, the God of peace, may the God of peace soon crush Satan under your feet. Now we come to something a lot of pastors do not understand. We're not weak. We're not intimidated. We're not defeated. We're not destroyed. Paul said, if I'm cast down, I'm not destroyed. I may be persecuted, but I'm not forsaken. Here's the thing you must remember, Pastor. We have power and authority over Satan, our enemy. In Luke 10 and 19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you." I don't know what country you're in today. I don't know what battle you're fighting today, but I want you to remember the power of your foot. That the Bible says when you put your foot on the enemy, it's just as if Jesus had his foot upon the enemy. The Bible says we're the body of Christ. He is the head and we are the body. Have you ever seen a body that was disconnected from the head? You haven't. The body is connected to Christ. And when Jesus rose up from the dead, the Bible said he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the resurrection. Here's the beautiful thing, though. We were buried with Christ. We were crucified with Christ. And when Christ rose from the dead, we were made alive with Christ. I see myself every morning taking the hand of Jesus and resurrecting and ascending. And the Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, even COVID-19, every name that is named, not only on this age, but in that which is to come. Now, may I encourage you, Pastor, to put on the sandals of the gospel of peace. The Roman sandals had nails in the bottom of them. And wherever you walked, the nails went in the ground. They were even a weapon. When they ran on top of their enemies and they were destroying their enemies under their feet. I want you to see yourself like Jesus today as he walked on the water. In faith, he walked right over the top of his problem. What is your problem today? What is your biggest difficulty during this pandemic and during the division and during all the problems? I want you to see it under your feet. When Jesus walked on the water, Peter said, "Can I come on the water with you?" And he said, "Come." In essence, he was saying, "Everything that's over your head is under my feet." I'm going to say that again. Everything that's over your head, the water, is under Jesus' feet. You and I have been called to rule and reign with him. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present now in 2020, nor things to come in the years to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." I know you know this, but you're in a war. You're in a battle against principalities and powers. They're trying to confuse you. They're trying to displace you. They're trying to discourage you. But here's what I want you to do today. I want you, first of all, to put on the armor of God. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shoes of peace, the sword of the Spirit, and the shield of faith. And then I want you to, on those shoes, stand firm. Paul said, "Stand against the enemy." And having done everything to stand, stand. Plant your feet on the promises of God. Number three, I want you to put up the shield of faith with which you quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Every day I say, "Satan, you have no place in my life. You have no place in my marriage, my finances, my family, my church, or my city, or my nation. I command him to leave my life. And then lastly, take your authority over the enemy in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, if I'm fighting a giant and he has nothing but his own ability, but I have a gun, I have authority. Authority is greater than ability. I don't care what the enemy is trying to do against you now. You have authority. Yes, David was discouraged at Ziklag. Yes, the people were about to stone him. Yes, he was in great distress. But what did he say? Bring me the ephod. I believe that ephod, number one, stands for the scriptures. Through the scriptures, you have encouragement and hope. I believe the ephod, number two, stands for the Holy Spirit. That when you worship the Lord with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and sing and make melody in your heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with His boldness and with His power. And I believe, number three, the ephod stands for your authority. That in the name of Jesus Christ, demonic powers have to leave your life, your family, and your ministry. I want to close this session of personal encouragement. I want to pray for you, Pastor. I don't know if you're high in the mountains somewhere, or you're down by the sea, or you're in the middle of Africa, or if you're in Europe, or if you're in South America. God knows you. God loves you. When Elijah was discouraged and went into the wilderness, the Bible says he prayed to die. But the Lord encouraged him and he went into a cave. And he was so discouraged. And then suddenly the Bible says he heard a still, small voice that said, arise and go and anoint. If you're discouraged today, I want you to hear the voice of the Lord. Let me pray for you right where you are. Put your hand over your heart, Pastor. Put your hand right there and let me pray these three things for you. Lord, I pray for the ephod of heaven to come upon the pastors, the precious Portuguese-speaking pastors of the world, 90,000 of them that are on this call. I pray, first of all, that a scripture would come into their mouth, a word, a promise from your inspired word, and that they would speak that word out of their mouth, Lord, that their own spirit would hear what they're saying. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And then, Lord, I pray they would have the ephod of the Holy Spirit, that joy would replace depression, that peace would replace fear and doubt. Lord, let them have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs that come singing up out of their heart. Let worship give them joy as Paul and Silas in prison. And then I pray, thirdly, the ephod of authority and boldness to take the name of Jesus and rebuke the enemy and scold the enemy and cast him out of their life and put their foot on the devil's head. We believe today the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet, under your feet, under your feet today. There's a turning around in your ministry. There's a turning around in your situation and your problems. And we speak today the blessing of the Lord upon your life. We love you so much. We are so honored to wash your feet today, to love you. I want to encourage you, if you want to know more about me, go to the website pastorsuniversityoneword.org. Pastorsuniversity.org. You can hear all about my ministry, but I want you to know how much we appreciate GKPN, Dr. Elias Dantas, and all of the leaders at GKPN. We just want you to know we're all facing the same problems, the same discouragement, the same distress as David did, but he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And may I remind you, he recovered everything. You are going to recover everything you lost in this pandemic. I speak it to you. I believe it with you, and we trust God. I love you very much. May the God of peace grant you encouragement in Jesus' name. Amen.